want to talk to the young people. Now, probably at school or colleges or wherever you're going, some may be going on to further higher education and some may be changing schools from junior to senior, whatever, wherever you are, I'm sure that your teachers bring up from time to time about global issues, don't they? And one of them, do they bring up about global warming? Do you hear much about global warming? Huh? How that weather events are changing, and you hear all the science of it. But it's interesting, isn't it, that I would imagine that in what they share with you, did you know that there are many conflicting reports about global warming? Did you know that there are actually some scientists that don't actually believe that there is an actual global warming? And there are others that do. And of course, governments are debating this. World governments come together to lecture, to talk about what they can do to cut down carbon emissions and all these things that we hear about. And of course, you know this weather we've just had recently. Now if you think about it, this time last year we were actually sitting in a heat wave. Do you remember? Record temperatures were hitting almost 40 in this country. Again, unheard of. And this year is a complete reverse. It's cold, it's damp, it's wet, and we've had a tremendous amount of rain. And no doubt, when you go back to school or college, your teachers will be full of it, and the scientists will be saying that here we are, we're seeing that nature's retaliating against the pollution of man. Now, I'm not saying that man doesn't pollute. We are aware of that. But I think that what we are seeing and we're beginning to experience, I don't think is actually global warming. Science is trying to understand what God is saying. Science is trying to understand man's sin and rebellion against a loving God who offers salvation in Jesus Christ. And so science is trying to understand it. But what you're finding with science, like always with man, is confusion, theories. Now, what I want to bring out in what I'm saying to you, young people, you don't have to believe in theories. You don't have to listen to that confusion. You can receive from the Holy Spirit, from God, what He's saying. And God doesn't want you young people to be blind to the events that are happening, what is happening in the world. He doesn't want you blind to that. He actually wants you to know. He wants you to know so that you can have those answers when you share with your friends or these things that come up, that you can actually say, this is actually the result of what sin has done. This is the result of rebellion. Man going his own way, independent of the love of God. And you have a very powerful message and testimony that God wants to give you. Now you may find that you might make yourself unpopular. You may find that they might laugh at you, ridicule you, but that's nothing new. All of that is nothing new. Jesus received that. All the great prophets that God used received that. And thinking in terms of wet weather and floods, a great prophet comes to mind. And for 120 years, while building the ark, he spoke out when the occasion came that God was going to send a flood. Now, did those people in those days believe him? that there was going to be a flood? Did they believe? Some of you are saying no. Now, why is it they didn't believe him? Any ideas why they didn't believe him? Yes, Poppy.
They didn't believe in Jesus.
They didn't believe in Jesus, absolutely. Anything else why they didn't believe? Huh? Any ideas? Yes.
They didn't want to believe it.
They didn't want to believe it. That's, again, another reason. The Bible actually gives us indications. But it was actually a main reason why they didn't believe.
They lived a long way from the sea. They hadn't had rain for a long time.
Well, they didn't actually have rain. That's the point. We're told that the ground was replenished, watered by the dews. They didn't have rain as we know it. So here, Noah was speaking about a language, about something that they didn't actually understand. And yet Noah and his family, who found grace in the sight of God, something within them prepared an ark. They built. So how did they know that? How did they know, out of all the millions of people, that they were to build that and that that was actually going to save them? How did they know that when nothing ever happened like that before? Yes.
Jesus
had spoken to them. Yes. What were you going to say?
Because they believed in God and trusted in Him.
Right, they trusted what He said. But if they had never experienced boats being built, they had never heard the term rain, floods, these were new words, new concepts. How did Noah actually get his mind, in a sense, how did he get round that? You know? Yes? Jesus made him think of that. Amen. Out of the mouths of babes. My word. Hallelujah. I tell you, God knows how to put us in our place, doesn't He? Jesus showed him. Jesus revealed. And this is what I'm saying. And I was listening to Jesus speaking to us this morning in prophecy. And He said, if you want it, I'm going to show you. I'll show you what others don't see. And that's what it's all about. It's Jesus showing us. And He said He'll do it. And so He showed Noah. He began to show him. He began to direct him and lead him to build this big ark where they were all going to go in and all the animals were going to go in. And then when the rain started to fall, I can assure you, Noah, his family began to see the deeper meaning of what Jesus was saying. And that's what happens, you see. When we start to believe in faith, then faith will begin to show us what God was really beginning to do. And that's why faith is so wonderful. Because faith is a knowledge, is a vision that comes not by flesh and blood. Doesn't come by your teachers, by your lecturers. They're all confused. Bless them. But it comes by God, who gives to us. And then He begins to show us, and you think, yes, now I see why I had to have faith. Now I see why God wanted me to believe first. Because now I'm beginning to see it. It's being manifested, in other words. It's being manifested into this realm, into this time, so that I can see it, you see? And that's what faith is all about. Faith has to be birthed first spiritually. And spiritual means you can't see it first. You see it in the Bible, the promises here. And as you believe it, then God begins to reveal it to you. And that's what's so wonderful being a Christian, because flesh and blood can't reveal that. That's what convinces you, influences you, makes you know that God is alive, Jesus is alive. It's not just words. It's not just coming to church and just singing songs or listening to a pastor or a preacher preaching away. It's a lot more than that. It's the reality of it. And you see, as young as you may be, Jesus wants you to have a reality of him, to know that he lives and that he lives today, and that he's not only dealt with sin, rebellion in your life, but that he has drawn you out of the world and taken you unto himself. And so we're going to see these floods. We're going to see earthquakes. We're going to see disasters on an epidemic level. And God is beginning to quicken to me that we're going to begin to see diseases that medical science cannot cure. And I don't want to frighten you, because there's no fear in the love of God. If you trust him and you look to him, he is going to lead you and guide you the same as he will with you, he will with me. I am no different to you, and you are no different to me. We may be a different in age, but Jesus is the same for you, and Jesus is the same for me. And when Jesus hung on the cross, that ground where that cross was, everyone who believed, it is the same for everyone. Whether young, old, middle age, whatever colour, whatever background, whatever your education, whatever your home life, whatever school you go to, however rich or poor, or whatever it will be, we are all the same at the level of the cross where Jesus hung. That's the wonderful good news of the gospel.